White, Avondale, Currumbong, New South Wales, January 30th, 1896. Edson. Temptations will come to me and to you. I have been struggling with the tempter for some time, but I will not give the enemy the victory. It is my privilege to have perfect faith and confidence in God. Jesus Christ, above all others, was the Son of Man. He stands as the ideal of humanity, the pattern of what Christ would have us become. We must be like Christ in character. If the human agent will become like Christ, then he will work most earnestly. We are privileged to become sons of God. I am so pleased that Jesus is leading you, and that he will lead all who will be led by him. I must stop, as it is nearly dark, and I have been up ever since 2:30 a.m. and must rest. Morning, January 31st. I have been tempted, sorely tempted, as I see how little many who profess to love God are really loving him. Our obedience to his commandments testifies whether we are indeed children of God. We are inclined to worry at the outlook of the things transpiring in our world. All the powers of darkness are working against the human agent to restrict religious liberty and to compel the worship of an idle Sabbath. But the outcome the Lord knows all about. I am so glad he understands every phase of the difficulties we shall have to meet. Believe in him and trust him as your God, for he sees with a larger vision than we can possibly see. His ideals are higher than any of our conceptions. He can read every purpose of the hearts that are leaguing against good and cooperating with the evil angels to overthrow the righteous. All the forces of evil angels combined with evil men will be in action to suppress truth and liberty to believe truth. But we will not fail nor be discouraged in our work, for every question is open as the day to the heart searcher. The high and lofty one who inhabiteth eternity will not overlook an effort to influence a child in the wrong direction. He will not pass over the one who would work counter to his will in tainting and corrupting human minds. God knows and understands. Keep in view his high standard for us. We are as God's chosen agents, working out his plans, accomplishing his purposes. Self must be under control to God. We must keep looking unto Jesus, trusting in him, that we disappoint not the hope and expectation of God. We must want to do and want to be just what God would have us to be. And the lessons we have to learn daily are to be meek and lowly in heart. Then can we raise the standard higher and higher. My children, every day hide in the cleft of the rock, where you may not be seen, but where you can see him who is invisible, and where you can hear the proclamation of God's character. This is worth everything to us. Children, I know that you are in a hard field, where many things will need to be done that financially appear impossible. But the Lord will not lay on you the great responsibility of placing yourself under a load which will crush you. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isaiah 57, verse 15. Children, do not limit the Holy One of Israel in your individual cases. Connected with God, you may grow in faith and trust and unshaken confidence in him. The Lord hath done much for you, my children. By giving yourself without reserve to the Lord, you will be made elements of light. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things else shall be added unto you. Godliness hath promise of the life that now is, as well as that which is to come. As you receive the rich grace of God, you will diffuse it. The faithful discharge of duties today is the best preparation for tomorrow's trials. Do not gather together all tomorrow's liabilities and cares to add unto the burdens of today. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God gives us strength for each day. I am looking to and trusting in God, but I do not feel that I can go to Africa, although it will be a sore disappointment if I do not. But God has a work to do in connection with the school that shall be established here, and with the churches in the colonies. I am pleased to know that the duties on goods coming into Sydney have been removed. Now there will be a much more pleasant state of things.
I am seeking to bring out many things on education in the schools. I may have to bear my testimony in America, but I leave myself wholly in the hands of God. My great burden now is to discharge my duties here daily. I am seeking first to know God. I want to know more and still more of God and of my Redeemer, the sent of God. And as I know more and still more of God, I shall communicate the same to others with pen and voice. I have liberty in writing, and I am in need of help, but the Lord knows all about it, and I will trust in Him. I will force nothing. I see that a great sentiment must be worked to and out under the divine direction in our schools. But the one great lesson that students must learn is to seek with all their heart, mind, and strength to know God and obey Him implicitly. The science of the salvation of the human soul is the first lesson of life. No line of literature or education in book knowledge is to become supreme. But to know God and Jesus Christ, whom He hath sent, is life eternal. Let the students take the love and fear of God with them into their school life. This is wisdom more precious than words can express. Connected with God, it can be said of them, as of Daniel, God gave him wisdom and knowledge in all mysteries. Learning is good. The wisdom of Solomon is desirable. But the wisdom of a greater than Solomon is far more desirable and essential. Through the learning in our schools, we cannot reach Christ. But we can, through Christ, reach the highest end of the ladder in science. For the word of inspiration says, "Ye are complete in Him." Colossians 2, verse 10. Our first business is to see and acknowledge God, and then He will direct our path. We would not, with pen or voice, discourage knowledge in literature, in trades, and in art, but first let the student secure the knowledge of God and His will concerning his own individual self, that he may adorn, exalt, and sanctify by sacred, holy influence in all his studies. Then there will be requirements in perfection of character that will make every study an acquisition to glorify God. The mind will constantly enlarge, expand, and broaden in sentiment. The knowledge of God is everything. Connected with God, eternal and imperishable interests are going forth from the receiver to enrich and glorify God. Daniel understood that he himself was to be first attended to. His diet must be regulated by the knowledge God had given to his instructors for his benefit. He was temperate in eating. He governed his appetite, not following impulse, but sound reasoning from the standpoint of Christian temperance. He had offered to him wine and meat and luxuries from the king's table, but he refused this, and the explanation he gave was that the mind must not be clogged with these articles, which, if he should eat them, would be difficult of digestion. Even in articles of healthful food, there must be a restriction of the quantity taken. The food placed in the stomach, Daniel had under his own control. Therefore, he could cooperate with God in keeping his stomach in a healthful condition by not benumbing his sensibilities by overeating or by the use of wine and flesh meats, which are not healthful or necessary for physical strength. A proper regard for the articles of food eaten would keep a healthful current of blood flowing through his veins, and his mind and body would be in a condition for hard, stern labor. For mind and body would not oppressed with a variety of flesh meats. Daniel and his fellows acted their part, and God cooperated with them, and they were prepared in soul and body to stand in the courts of Babylon, untainted by the moral corruption existing there. If respected, the laws of nature will be able to do good work. But there is something deeper and higher than tracing the results of a course of action in regard to physical, mental, and moral power under the will of the worker. Daniel and his fellows gave God all the glory of the physical, mental, and moral superiority that was revealed in them. The laws of nature are the laws of God, and consist of regularity in action, in order to refuse that which would weaken the physical and mental powers in working in harmony with God. The Lord can impress the mind if it is in a healthful condition. Then the human agent and God are in co-partnership. The created human agent and the Creator are working to make man in every sense complete in Jesus Christ. There is no war instituted by the human agent against the law of his being. Daniel purposed in his abstemious habits of non-use of meat to glorify God. The blessing of the Lord attended the youth who would, through love and fear of God, discard everything they deemed detrimental to their advancement in their physical, mental, and moral perfection. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Daniel 1, verse 17. Daniel 1, verse 19, 20. Those who will honor God, God will honor. The very first duty we have to discharge individually is with our soul. We owe a debt of gratitude to God in giving Jesus, his only begotten Son, to redeem us.